This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Temple, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, please open your King James Bibles to Revelation chapter 19, verse 1, where we left off last time. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. Just before we begin, I want to welcome a new baby boy to planet Earth. We prayed in the wee hours of morning yesterday, 1 and 2 and 3 a.m. He had a hard time getting here. He is the great-grandson of our own church family, Sonny and Lois Harper. He is the grandson of Loretta and Carol, Patrick Carroll, and the proud little son of Sierra Carroll. They are members of our congregation, our family of God. So welcome, little one. And those, when you hear this, Carol and Harper family, bring him over in a few weeks, and I will anoint him and pray over him and get his life started out just right. Welcome to planet Earth. I know you miss our Father. We all do. And now, Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. You might like to entitle this, Jesus Returns. When this chapter comes to pass, the seventh trump will have sounded and Jesus will be on his way.
Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven.
Now, this is in heaven as we are on earth. Now, these are people who are with God, who have lived on the earth, but have gone back to be with him, some of our loved ones.
Saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God.
Now, in the Greek, we say, praise the Lord, alleluia, with an A. So let's say it in Greek, alleluia. But in Hebrew, and that's the language of the angels, we say, hallelujah. That's why we start out before we, radio people, you don't hear this. Hallelujah. Let's do it in Hebrew. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord.
True and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore.
Now that's Mystery Babylon, chapters 17 and 18. We taught that thoroughly. And we saw a woman sitting on a beast colored in scarlet above many waters. And she was a symbol of the men and women on planet Earth living right now who will be deceived by the Antichrist, who is symbolized by the beast. He's dressed in scarlet because his sins are as scarlet, and he is the man of sin, and the waters represent the whole world will be deceived. The reason Mystery Babylon is called mystery is the deception, which is what Babylon means. Confusion, deception, lies. It is hidden from most people. If people knew they were deceived, they wouldn't be deceived, would they?
Which did corrupt the earth with her fornication.
God always equates fornication, adultery, and whoredom with going against him. In other words, lies, deception, and confusion, even in the pulpit and in the government and all over this planet right now, are going to cause people to worship the wrong Christ. The Antichrist comes first. He's the devil with his Jesus costume on instead of Christ.
And hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Three and again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever.
Now, all of you listening to me, I know your true hearts, and you want to share God's word with somebody else, so let's get this right. The smoke went up forever and ever is what is called an Hebraism. It's sort of like a figure of speech. Here's what it means. That's it. Over. Fini. Blotted out. The smoke would be the gases of the nothingness that just went up into smoke. God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. And when it says consuming, it means he consumes whatever's in there. Whatever was in the fire is nothing. The smoke is a symbol that forever and ever and ever and ever, there's nothing blotted out. Do you understand? So when Jesus comes at the seventh trump, he's coming with that seventh vial, which we studied, the cup of wrath, and the elements will be burned up with fervent heat. The elements are the rudiments. In other words, mystery Babylon, confusion, lies, and all of that just dissipates. It is no more. But this also means at the end of the millennium, when the lake of fire comes into existence, what goes into that is blotted out. Smoke forever and ever does not exist. That's it. Over. Finney.
Four, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat upon the throne.
Now we know the 24 elders. We learned those in chapter 1. That's the 12 apostles and that's the 12 patriarchs. You know, Reuben and Benjamin and Samuel and not Samuel, but Joseph and so forth. And Peter and Paul and all of those. Not Paul. But anyway, the beast is a mistranslation. It reads creatures in the manuscript. It's the four living creatures. The Hebrew says cherub, K-R-B. And the way you would pronounce that, if you could really read that, it would be keep, guard, grab, and grasp. They guard the mercy seat. If you notice, they're just perpetually worshiping God in heaven. You know that's what we're supposed to be. You can multitask. You can worship him all the time. You really can all the time.
Saying, Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, if that's good enough for them, why don't we join heaven? How about we say Amen, Alleluia? Everybody in cyberspace too, ready, go. Amen, Alleluia. Okay, we're with heaven.
Five, and a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great.
Fear is to revere, to love.
Six. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters.
Now we learned in Revelation 17, verse 15, that the waters are the people. So these are people who are in heaven, who lived on earth, were saved, and are with him at this point. This would be right now, because we're not that far off from the seventh trumpet. The sixth one has to sound.
And as the voice of mighty thundering.
We learned in an earlier chapter in Revelation that the thundering is the voice of God. So God is having a good time too. We're really see how happy they are. You know why? It's going to be a wedding. Going to the chapel. Going to get married.
Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
Hallelujah. Omnipotent means unlimited power. This unlimited power God is in this place. This is Bethel.
Hallelujah.
This is holy ground. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Omnipotent. We worship him. We sang to him. We're praying to him. We're praising. We're hearing his voice. He has all this power.
Amen.
He made your liver. He put the sun up there.
Hallelujah.
And he loves you.
Seven. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready.
Okay, God has a wife. Now you know that Jesus is coming back for the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the Bible says the Christians are the bride and Jesus is the bridegroom. So what does this mean? In the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, everybody learn it, world is eon in the Greek age, in the first earth age. We were all with God. Ecclesiastes 12:6-7, ere the silver cord breaks, ere you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. You are a spirit. You're just dwelling in that little flesh body. And we were all there before Satan decided to be God. And we were all spiritually the wife of God. Please do not think sex. We just get it so wrong. Marriage means we're wedded in our hearts. We're wedded in our purpose and our devotion. So you see, we were all wedded to him. It's a spiritual wedding. And all of our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But Satan rebelled and said, I will be God, Isaiah 14, and deceived one-third of God's children, Revelation 12, and one other third sat there like a knot on the log, lukewarm. There was a small group there that fought for God, tooth and nail, very small minority. There was a trial there. Romans 8 says, whom he foreknew, he justified. Romans 8, 28, 29. Foreknew means married. Those who stayed married to him, the Zadok, the elect, he justified and he glorified. And so that still is the wife. Do you understand? The rest were stolen by Satan, so they're divorced. Do you understand that? So he has a wife. Now, some of these people in this incident here in chapter 19, a part of the wife is there. Some of those who have come to planet Earth and given the oracles of truth. It's not the mainstream church. It's a small group of people with the oracles, the mystery of God, the third level. And they've gone back. But the rest of the wife is here right now, living and breathing, the Zadok, the elect. And it's on purpose that we're here. He keeps part of his wife with him. I guess he doesn't want to get lonely. Some of us are down here on a purpose. Now, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 3, 8, we're in the flesh now. It says God divorced Israel. He put her away for adultery. Now, divorce there, God is divorced. So therefore, that's why Jesus is coming back to remarry. All of those who went astray get to come through one time in their mother's womb to choose Jesus or the devil again. And if you are saved, if you don't fall off the Antichrist, you get to remarry Jesus. You're the bride, but then you get to be the wife again. But the wife remains the same. Faithful then, faithful now. Chosen from before the foundation of the earth. So he's coming back to take another wife. It's very exciting in heaven. It's sort of like me, Tarzan, you, Jane. Going to be a wedding.
Eight, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen.
Now, here is what the bride wears. Now, this is you men, too, okay? You men would look funny in a bridal gown, so it's not talking about that, okay? The white is pure, and the clean is your sins are washed away. Now, find out how your bridal gown, elect, Zadok, all of you who are saved, let's find out how you have it woven. See, some people are going to be naked for all eternity. You don't want to go to your wedding naked. You want this gown. How do you get it? He's about to tell us.
Clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
Oh, the material for your wedding garment, men and women, is woven of the righteousness of saints. In the manuscripts, righteous acts of saints. Now, you're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. But once you are saved, you are supposed to bring people to Jesus and get the truth to them. You can come to church every time the doors open, be faithful and true, give your tithes, love offerings too. But that doesn't mean that you've got enough works. Everybody is supposed to bring people to Jesus and to the Word.
Amen.
You say, but I can't, I'm not good at that. You can support where Jesus is taught. You can support with your emotions, with your prayer, with your encouragement, and with your money, wherever the Word of God is coming from. In other words, these are the two major things. If you want your gown, you make sure that somehow you're in some association or you yourself are getting the word, the person of Jesus to people so they can be saved, and the word of God so they won't be deceived. Does everybody understand?
Yes.
Now see, all of you, you can draw people to listen to this radio program. You're bringing them to Jesus and the truth. That's a work. You can bring them in here on Sunday night and Wednesday night. That's a work. And I'm not saying it about me, but that's all I do is teach the truth, so I know it's okay. In other words, remember that. We all give food. I mean, I've fed the homeless over here in this place for a long time. We all do things like that. We all sacrifice and give and help anybody we can. But your righteous act is to get Jesus and the Bible. You're to win souls to Jesus, and if you can't do it, take them to where somebody will win them.
Amen.
Invite them to church. Amen. See, that's a righteous act. So, do it. Get your clothes on.
Verse 9, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Whoa, this is very important to Jesus. Many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus often speaks about his wedding because he's excited about it. Wouldn't you be married? Aren't you excited if you're going to remarry him? I'm excited to be the wife. Okay, in Matthew chapter 22, and you can go home and read it. It's round about verses 8 and 11 along in there, in that area. Jesus gave a parable about his wedding, and he said the wedding was ready, and those who were bidden were not worthy. We said, won't you be saved? Won't you hear the truth? We gave them our pearls, and they took those pearls and hit us with them. They weren't worthy. Now we understand why it is that sometimes once we've sown the seed, we just let them go. They weren't worthy. They threw the pearls back. So Jesus said to his servants, go into the highways. Go find the smelly ones. Go find the crazy ones. Go find the outcasts, people nobody else loves. Go find those who are filled with demons. Fill your place up with the crazy outcasts of this world and tell them of me. Hallelujah. Bring them in. Hallelujah. Love them. Hallelujah. So we do. And the wedding feast is ready. And the king comes in, Matthew 22. And he sees there a man who has no wedding garment. And Jesus says, friend, why are you in here and you have no wedding garment? And the man was speechless. Perhaps he said, but Jesus, I never missed church. I was always there. And I gave a lot of money. Where is your wedding gown? How many souls did you win to Jesus? How many people did you get the word of God out? And so he said, cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Many are called, but few are chosen. But I will say to you, whosoever will may come. Every time we have this radio program, every time I teach live, we give the call. So I say, come, come. To the marriage supper of the Lamb. Be saved today.
And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he saith unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Now, the Lord Jesus has been dictating this entire book of John to John, this book of Revelation, told him to write it and send it to all of us here around planet Earth at the end times. However, he sends a little reinforcement. Jesus sends someone who was here, this one was here, walked on the earth, who had served the Lord, who had done the righteous acts and had gone back. Now this is very beautiful. Now all of you have dreams of your loved ones, but that's not what we're talking about. That's an emotional thing, and that's a beautiful thing God does to comfort you. But God, if God so deems it necessary, he will send someone we know who's gone on back to give us a message from God. I've had it, it's very deeply. It's never to say, keep up the good work, Sherry. It's never, I love you, Sherry. I miss you, Sherry. It's to tell me to keep going and do what God's got me to do. Amen. And that he's making the way, and no matter what, then he's going to get it done. Amen. In other words, he will do that. So that is so wonderful to know. But what does he mean that he's one of those, whoever this is one of those, has the spirit of prophecy? In chapter 1, it says that Jesus, of course, is writing Revelation, dictating it to John. And it says Jesus is the testimony. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's the testimony of prophecy. Revelation is a book of prophecy. So whoever this is would know Revelation. Well, who would that be? The great book of Isaiah, one of my favorite books. I love to teach it. Right slap dab there in the middle of Isaiah, there are a whole bunch of chapters that are pure revelation. Every time I teach Isaiah, I get to that and I say, okay, you're still in Isaiah, but I'm really teaching Revelation now. So it could have been Isaiah. There's Zechariah, the two witnesses. Oh, the second coming of Jesus, all of that, Zechariah. Could have been Zechariah. I'm sure God will tell us one day, right?
11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True.
Now, this is the Lord Jesus. It's not a literal horse. Horse is power, and white is pure. Now, Zechariah says the first advent of Jesus, he comes lowly sitting on a donkey. I use the D word instead of the A word. And the next time he's coming on a white horse. Now, you might remember, those of you been with me, Revelation 6, there was another rider on the white horse, and he seemed to be so beautiful. He seemed to be Messiah. But we had a clue. He had a bow about him. And the bow in the Greek is toxin, cheap fabric imitation, which shows you the first one coming as Messiah is not Messiah. That was the devil. So here comes Jesus.
And in righteousness he doth judge and make war.
He's coming with a seventh vial, cup of wrath.
12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns.
Now, this is not a strange-looking Jesus. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. And the Bible tells us that there is a crown awaiting all of us who are looking for his appearance. And we don't fall off to the Antichrist. When he comes, he gives us a crown. But what do? We give our crowns to him. So this is a picture symbol of all of our crowns diffused into one crown, because there's just one king. Crown him King of Kings, the Lord Jesus.
And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself.
Now, underline that. He's got a name, but nobody knows it but God. But he's about to give us a hint.
13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood.
He had been crucified. The Lamb of God paid our sacrifice. Now listen to this.
And his name is called the Word of God.
His name is called the Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Over and over in Revelation, when Jesus introduces himself, he says, I'm the alphabet. I'm Alpha and Omega. That's the Greek alphabet, A to Z. Well, what do you do with an alphabet? You make a word. What do you do with a word? You make a sound, and sound produces movement. Before there ever was a flesh body, there was a word. Before ever Mary had a baby Jesus in a flesh body, there was the Word. Before there was ever a Biblia and a Biblia, the Bible, there was the Word. So God is the Word. Sound. A word makes sound, and sound is movement. So why does he say? Nobody knows it but he himself, but his name is called the Word of God. God gave me this. You name your son Maximilian, but he's called Max. Yes, he's Max. But there's more to Max than Max. There's Maximilian. You call your daughter and you name her Rebecca, but you call her Becky. But there's no more to Becky than Becky. She's Rebecca. You can understand because you make sounds and make words. God is a word.
Amen, amen.
But not just any old word, the Word. Get your brain around it. Meditate on it. Before there was flesh, there was the Word. Before there was substance, there was the Word.
Amen.
Proverbs 8, wisdom speaking. I was with him before anything was formed on the earth. Hallelujah. No wonder death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, you're going to understand that it's very important when you speak that you make a sound. Mumbling doesn't get it done. God did not say, let there be light.
Hallelujah.
Sound produces
Hallelujah.
Movement. Amen. You're fighting demons, shout them out.
Yes.
They'll move.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
Now that's the wife that's up there. This is going to be interesting. See, they're not just sitting around doing nothing in heaven. They're preparing for war, and they're coming with him. Now, the truth is that if you are an elect, you will be a warrior. Tepid doesn't go with elect, but you could choose to fight this time around. You could let the fire come in you. You could fall so much and passionately in love with him that you would fight.
Amen.
You would fight for the love of your soul.
Amen.
So they're coming back to fight.
15, and out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations.
That's his tongue. Revelation 1 said that, the word of God.
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron.
Not going to be crucified this time.
And he treadeth the winepress of the fiercest and wrath of Almighty God.
The seventh vial, the cup of wrath. It will not hurt one elect's head. Luke 21:18, not one hair of your head shall be harmed.
16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Let's take a praise break. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun.
Why the sun? Because Jesus' countenance is as bright as the sun. You're thinking that body's going to come. His head and his hair are white as wool. His eyes as a flame of fire. His feet like a defined brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his countenance is as a sun shineth in his strength. He dissipates all of the darkness. He's the light of the world.
Hallelujah.
He cried with a loud voice.
Loud voice.
Saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God.
In the manuscripts reads, come to the great supper of the Almighty God.
Amen.
Now, who's he calling here? He's calling the buzzards, the vultures. You're going to have a nice meal, buzzards. Jesus is coming. I'll explain it.
18, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great.
1 Corinthians 15:52, excuse me, says at the last trump, the seventh, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as fast as I can bat my eyelid, we shall all change. Everybody, free and bond, saved and lost, we will step out of our flesh suit into our perfect, beautiful spiritual body. That does not mean everybody's saved, but right now you will. See, you're sitting there and your poor old body's about to fall apart, but there's a beautiful spirit body in there. But look, what are we going to do with all of that flesh and blood? The Bible says flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus is coming, thy kingdom come. So we got to have a cleanup committee. So he's calling his cleanup committee. Now you know why he invented the scavengers, pigs and shrimp and buzzards and vultures and so forth. They're going to clean it all up.
19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army.
All right, this would be the Antichrist, his fallen angels, and Cain's descendants. Cain's a child of the devil, the Kenites. when they see Jesus and that army coming, they are actually going to have the audacity to try to fight him. This is the battle of Armageddon. It's a very quick fight. We win. Okay. At very close proximity there will also be the battle of Hamangog, Ezekiel 38 and 39. That is when Esau comes against Jacob. 6-hour teaching, I've taught it other times. And those, that army with Jesus will throw hailstones from the weight of a talent, depending on which manuscripts you're reading, 75 to 185 pounds. Two battles, close proximity, Armageddon, Hamangog, but Jesus wins.
20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him.
All right, now this beast is the first beast of Revelation 13. It is the political system, the one world government that is right now being set up for the Antichrist. So what it's talking about, this system is about to be destroyed, in other words. So that beast is not the Antichrist. Who's the false prophet? Well, who's the true prophet? Jesus. So who's the false prophet? The devil. Christ is Christ. Antichrist is instead of Christ. So this means the role of Antichrist is destroyed forever and ever, but not yet the body of Satan. He's not going to find his final Waterloo until the lake of fire, the end of the millennium. But that means the office, the system of the one world order, the first beast, and the role of the Antichrist, who is the false prophet, that's gone right then, because Jesus is coming. He's going to lock bodily Satan into an abyss for 1,000 years, so the elect can teach all through that. We'll all be in our spiritual bodies. Everybody understand? So the devil is the unholy trinity. So he plays these roles. He's in charge of the one world order, that first beast. He pretends to be the false prophet. He's the false, pretends to be Christ, but he's not. But he's still the devil. He doesn't meet his end until the end of the millennium. But his role is gone forever and ever.
With which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire.
Jesus comes, the elements will burn up with fervent heat. The elements, Greek rudiments, the false teaching, mystery Babylon. In other words, all of the lies of the political system, the one world order, all of the lies of Satan pretending to be Christ, they will be dissolved.
With brimstone. 21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse.
That's those fallen angels of Genesis 6 and of Jude. They have already been sentenced to perdition, and now they meet their final death. That's it. No more of them.
Which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
They had a great feast. Okay, come to the supper. Who's coming to dinner? Who's coming to supper? Well, I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, the most important thing is for you to be saved. If you are not sure you're saved, you're not saved by works. You're not saved by baptism. You're not saved by being good. You're saved by acknowledging that you have sinned and accepting the beautiful blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sins. And once you're saved, what you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to bring people to Jesus and to the Word of God.
Amen.
So please pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned. Please forgive me for all my sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me, Lord.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Use me to bear much fruit for your glory. Let me enlarge your territory. Thank you. I love you. In Jesus' name,
Amen.
Amen.
In a moment, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. Feel free to call and leave a message. Tell me you were saved and leave your number, and I'll pray for you every day. Now, for those of you who are sick, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus Christ, O Son of Righteous, arise with healing in your wings. Let miracles, instant creative miracles occur. Where body parts are missing, let new body parts come. Let those parts of the body not working start working. Livers, pancreatic cancer be gone. Bones, arthritis, migraine, headaches, backbone, spine. Let energy, let depression be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Let the joy rise up. Let the joy rise up. The joy of the Lord is your strength. In the name and the power of Jesus, be healed, be made whole. Ooh, I feel the anointing. You can call me there too and let me know that you've been healed. We'll give God the glory. We'll give him the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I want to invite all of you to come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., Word and Prayer. Each Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer. Now remember, you don't want to be naked for all eternity. Bring people to Jesus and the Word. Invite them here. Tell them about it. Then that you'll get one of your panels made there. And I love all of you. Remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. God bless you and keep you. I love you, and if God is willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Inside the deepest parts, you radiate the darkness in my heart. Oh, I can't hide no more. You took this life that once was real and gave us strength where hopelessness won't prevail. And this life
love, all of my fears and trials are best in you. All that I hold in love, oh Lord, all of my songs, all of my longings, all that I hold in love, oh Lord, best in you. You're loving, you're patient, you're strong and true. All goodness, all mercy are found in you. All the praises of the earth rest in you. All of our fears and trials, Lord, all of our doubts, all of our shadows, all of our fears and trials, Lord, rest in you. All that we hold in love, oh Lord, all of our songs, all of our longings, all that we hold in love, oh Lord, rest in you. You're loving, you're patient, you're strong and true. All goodness, all mercy are found in you. All the praises of the earth rest in you.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, when I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it
be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give.
when you say I got trouble. I got trouble all over me. I got trouble since the day I was born. And it's not just a struggle. Well, it's the blood running through my veins. And it's all the clothes I've ever worn. 'Cause when I'm with you, I feel so overdressed. The trouble is I'm not above or beyond anything. So I know. Terrible lover, I never love you the way I should. Oh, and every single reason's wrong. Oh, my sister, my brothers, we got history on our heels, and we're running like we broke the law. My friends like
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I wanna love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing.